Today's daf is Chulin daf Memvav, and we are at the sixth wide line on daf Memhe Amid Beis, the two dots Nishbar Hashedra. Today's daf is being learned Leilu Nishmas Aharon Ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Reb Naftali Hertz. So we're moving along here in Perek Elu Treifos, dealing with different treifos. Clearly, very technical dafen. Specifically, the Mishnah mentioned that Nishbar Hashedra, the Nifsak Hachutshala, is an example of treifa. So Nishbar Hashedra, in the event that the spine of the animal broke, the Nifsak Hachutshala, and the spinal cord that's contained within the spine tore, the halacha is that would render the animal a treifa. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban, we learned in a braisa, chut hashedra shenifsak berubai. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that when it says in the Mishnah that nishbar hashedra v'nifsak hachut is a treifa, what does nifsak mean? It means if the majority was nifsak. So if the majority of the spinal cord tore, that's when it's considered a treifa. Rabbi Yaakov said, afilu nikev, that even if it only has a nekev, there's just a hole inside of it, but it didn't become severed in the majority, that too would be enough in order to render it a treifa. Hayra Rebbe ki Rabbi Yaakov. And then the Gemara says that Rebbe, who was Mekel, who said that the Chut HaShedra Shenifsak only Berubai would be a treifa, but if it only has a neck of not, he was once Machmer like Rav Yaakov. Amar Rafuna, Rafuna said, Ein Halacha k'Rav Yaakov, stating that even though Rebbe himself was once Machmer like Rav Yaakov, but that was a Chumr Yaseira. You want to know what the Halacha is? Ein Halacha k'Rav Yaakov. What is the Halacha? Chut HaShedra Shenifsak Berubai, then and only then would he be considered a treifa. Kama Rubai, how do you define Roiv? Rav Amar Rav said, Roiv Oiroi. It means that the majority of the R, the membrane, the skin that surrounds the spinal cord, torva amrila. Some say roiv moichai, that it's not roiv oiroi, but rather it's roiv moichai. So what would the moichai mean? So moich over here means the tissue that makes up the actual substance of the spinal cord. So if we can visualize this, the actual spinal cord is what's referred to as moichai. That's surrounded by a layer of skin. That's what's referred to as oiroi. And those two components together make up the chut hashedra. The chut hashedra is encased in a bone that's known as the shedra itself. But either way, when we talk about even the shear of roiv, so there was a machlokes. Is it roiv oiroi or is it roiv moichai? The Gemara explains, mandama roiv moichai, mandama, that said roiv moichai, kolshkin roiv oiroi. So if roiv moichai is a problem, certainly roiv oiroi is going to be a problem. And the reason Rashi says is because to the extent that roiv oiroi already was nifsak, so it's inevitable that roiv moichai is going to be nifsak. So if you're telling me that roiv moichai is a problem, then there's no question that roiv oiroi is also a problem, because every roiv oiroi will eventually be a roiv moichai. Mandama roiv oiroi, but the Gemara says, according to Mandama that says that it's roiv oiroi, roiv moichai mai, what would be if you have roiv oiroi, but roiv moichai was nifsak? What would be the halacha over there? Meaning, you can't say that because roiv moichai was nifsak, that means that roiv oiroi will be nifsak. Like we said in the reverse, where roiv oiroi was nifsak, it's inevitable that roiv moichai will be nifsak, because that's just not true. Right? The oir protects the moich. So if the oir is nifsak, inevitably the moich will be nifsak. But it doesn't go in the reverse. The moich is underneath the R. So just because the Moich is nifsak, it doesn't mean that the R is going to be nifsak. So the Gemara wants to know what's the halacha. Meaning, according to the mandama that says roiv oiroi, is it also roiv oiroi or is it dafka roiv oiroi? What would be the halacha regarding roiv moichai? Again, if you hold roiv moichai, then it's a moot point to know what roiv oiroi will be, because every roiv oiroi will eventually be a roiv moichai. But in the reverse, it's not true. So the Gemara says, according to Madama that said roiv oiroi, what would be the halacha regarding roiv moichai? So the Gemara Toshma, the Amar Nilvi, said it's not a name that you see every day, but Nilvi said, Amar Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Huna, Rubai Sha'amru, that when Chazal said roiv, what they meant was roiv oiroi. What about the moyach? This is the question. It makes no difference. So roiv moichay is kolshkein roiv oiray, but roiv oiray does not include roiv moichay. Rav Nosson bar Abin habiyosuk made the rav. Rav Nosson bar Abin was once sitting in the presence of Rav Bodak bar roiv oiray. He was boidik roiv oiray, and then afterwards the kabodik bar roiv moichay, and then he started being boidik roiv moichay. Amalei, Rav told him im roiv oiray kayim moyach ze in a mile of in a moire, that the halach is roiv oiray. And it's only Rav Oiray. So as long as the Rav Oiray is there, I don't really care what's going to be as it relates to the Rav Moichai. So the bottom line is, what's the very, very first part of the daf? We're dealing with the treif in the Mishnah of Nishbar HaShedra and Nifsak, the Chut of the Shedra. And the question is, what does Nifsak Chut HaShedra mean? Two questions. The first question is, does it have to be Roiv of the Chut HaShedra that was Nifsak? Or if it was Nikev, as long as there was a Nekev, then in and of itself is going to be okay. The second question is, on the tzad that it's Roiv, what does Roiv mean? Is it Roiv Oiray or is it Roiv Moichai? Oh, and by the way, if you hold it's Roiv Oiray, what would be by Roiv Moichai? And if you hold it's Roiv Moichai, what would be by Roiv Oiray? One thing the Gemara said very clearly is that if you hold that it's Roiv Moichai Kolshkein Roiv Oiray, because if it's Nifsak Roiv Oiray, inevitably it will also be Nifsak Roiv Moichai. What about in the reverse? That was a Shaila, but what seems to emerge from the Gemara is that if you hold it's Roiv Oiray, it's Stavka Roiv Oiray. I don't care if it's also Nifsak Roiv Moichai. Zok the Gemara. More about the Chut HaShedra. Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Shoven Levi. Rabbi Barchana sent the name Rabbi Shoven Levi. This Marech, in the event that the tissue that makes up the Chut HaShedra became a liquid, pasul, it's going to be pasul. Nis Masmes, if it didn't literally become a liquid, but Rashi says what happened was it softened to the point that the animal is no longer able to stand with its spinal cord, pasul, that too is going to be pasul. So nismarich is pasul, and nismasmes is pasul. Ezehu hamrocha ve'ezehu hamsas. So the Gemara explains what we just said. Hamrocha kol shenish b'chakitin. That's so liquid that you could literally pour it out like you'd pour a glass of water. What does masmisa mean? So that's kol she'ini yachalami. That means where it's not so liquid that you can mamish be shoyfeche kekitain, but at the same time it's liquidy enough, it's soft enough that you're in a yachalami. Now Rashi asks a little bit of an obvious question, and that is, if you're going to tell me that this masmis is possible, kol she'ini yachalami, it's a kol she'kein kal v'chomer ben v'neishal kal v'chomer nismarich is possible kol she'nish b'chikitain. Or if you tell me if it's just a little bit soft, that's already enough for it to be possible. And certainly if it's completely liquid, there is no spinal cord, so obviously it can't stand. So if that's the case, for sure it should be possible. So Rashi says 100% absolutely enochinami. The only thing is, these are very obscure words, and we're not 100% sure what the taich of these words are. So had it only said one of these two words, nismarich or nismasmes, I would have said tafas the meruba loy tafas. Tafasta. That probably means if it's completely liquid, but if it's soft, not. So the reason we had to say both was lahoitzim miliban, shall all the people that aren't farmers and don't really know what these things are. So therefore, I'm going to tell you there's two types of psulin. If there's two types of psulin, I got the message. I got that if it's completely liquid, and even if it's not completely liquid, it's still going to be okay. My Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya came, and Rabbi Yirmiya, as he's going to have in more than one place in today's daf, he has a classic shayla. What would be if the Chut HaShedra didn't become a liquid, it didn't become soft, but at the same time it became stiff and hard, which is almost the opposite, but because of that it can't stand? What's the halacha? Meaning, the side of nismarich and nismasmes is because the Chut HaShedra is not functioning, it's not facilitating what it's supposed to facilitate, to allow the animal to have the bone structure that it needs to, you know, get around and be an animal. So if that's the case, maybe if the spinal cord was affected in the reverse, maybe it would be the same. Or maybe no. Maybe it's tafka when it happened in this way, where it was nismarich and nismasmes, that it's going to be possible. If, however, it happened machmas kovdoi, maybe not. And the Gemara says, Teiku, this is something we will not know until Eliyahu HaNavi tells us what the halacha is. Bei Rav Amri, the Gemara continues on this note. In the Yeshiva Rav, they said, nismasmeis pasul, nismasmeis kosher. So if it's nismasmeis, then it's going to be pasul. If, however, it's nismasmeis, then it's going to be kosher. So what is nismasmeis? So Rashi says it means that some of the tissue was nisreikin me'elav. Some of it somehow got out on its own. So the halach is, in that instance, it's going to be kosher. So if it's nismasmes, it softens completely, then it's going to be puzzle. If it's nismasmes, that already is going to be okay. Interesting, Rashi. Rashi says that, why did Beirav say nismasmes puzzle and nismasmes kosher? Really, the only chiddush that they're saying is that nismasmes is kosher. We know already that nismasmes is puzzle. Amri Beirav, nismasmes puzzle, nismasmes kosher. So Rashi, this is just the practical ideas that you sometimes find scattered in a block Gemara. And that is, had it just said nismasmes kosher, I might have thought that really nismasmes is kosher, right? Because let's be honest, it's not so hard to confuse your nismasmeses and your nismasmeses. So therefore, had it said simply nismasmeis kosher, I would have said, oh, 1 second, it must be a machloikis. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi, nismasmeis pasul. I'm Rabbi Rav, nismasmeis kosher. So again, lohoitzi mi liban, of all the people that aren't farmers, and these things are all obscure too. So no, we understand there's something called a nismasmeis, and that, I agree, is possible, like Rabbi Shulman Levi said. We're just coming to be moisif that there's also something called in this mazmeis, not with a samach, with a zayin, and then this mazmeis, that is going to be kosher. But the Gemara asks a kash on that. Meisvei, Rabbi Shulman Allah Zayim, Rabbi Hema, Shem nismazmeis, Moicha, a behema, where the moyach was nismazmeis, treifa. It's going to be considered a treifa. So that's a pretty good meisvei, straight out. Not that way, not nismazmeis kosher, but rather nismazmeis treifa. But the Gemara says it's not shver, hahi. Nismasmes itmar. As we just mentioned, easy to confuse your nismasmeses and your nismasmeses. So when we said that if it's nismasmes, it's a trefa, it was a typo, it was a mistake. What it meant was nismasmes is a trefa because nismasmes is actually going to be kosher. It says the Gemara, Eini, I'll ask you a kash on this. Levi was once in a bathhouse. Chazi al hu gavra, he saw a person, the tarila reshe. He saw he banged his head, and something really bad happened to him. He had a serious injury. Omar, and Levi remarked, Rashi says, he was like very sad for what happened. He says, oi, nismazmes moicha dedain. So sad, this person just had a nismazmes. Now it was clear that Levi was saying that because of that, his prognosis was very bleak. So the Gemara says, lav, doloi chaye. Didn't he probably mean that he's not going to live? So you see from here that nismazmes is a trefa. Now, he was talking about a person, not an animal. But you see that nismazmes is a form of a trefa. Rabbi Abba said, loy mesha'inu moilet. What he meant to say was that he had some sort of a head injury that was going to affect his nervous system, which was going to somehow take away his ability to be able to have children. And that's why he gave the krechts that he gave. Yeah, true, he saw some bleak prognosis, but it was not that he was going to be a trefa, because in the world of trefas, nismaz maze, in contract, nismaz maze, is actually not something that renders a person a trefa. Again, okay, more about the chut hashedra, and if you think this was technical, we haven't seen anything yet. Adheichon chut hashedra, how far down does the chut hashedra go? Now, the Gemara's question about Heichon Chut HaShedra is not a scientific question. Because for that, just shecht an animal, open it up, and you'll see. Ad Heichon Chut HaShedra. The question is, at what point is the Chut HaShedra considered a Chut HaShedra so that the halacha of Nifsak Chut HaShedra is going to apply? And at what point do we say this is no longer considered part of the Chut HaShedra so that if something happens to it, it's not going to be okay? So just to explain this a little bit better, the Chut HaShedra really goes through the entire animal. It goes like from the head area all the way down to the tail area. The Shaila that the Gemara is pondering out loud is whether or not that entire area of Chut HaShedra is considered Chut HaShedra le'inyan da halacha of treifas, or maybe there's a part of the Chut HaShedra that's more crucial to the life of the animal. So over there, if it's nifsak, the halacha is going to be that the animal is going to be a treifa. But maybe there's a point on the Chut HaShedra where we say, even if it's nifsak, it's not going to be an issue. And that's the question of Adheichon Chut HaShedra. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda, send the name of Shmuel, Ad Bein HaParashos. It's until the area of Bein HaParashas. Now we'll see a more detailed definition of what exactly Bein HaParashas means, but just to start this high level, so if you see a picture of the Chot HaShedra, so the Chot HaShedra is a chot, right? It's a string. And at some point, it starts branching off. So there's a point where you have clusters of branches that protrude out of the sides of the Chot HaShedra. So essentially, what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that you want to know up until what point the Chot HaShedra is so sensitive that if it's Nifsa Chot HaShedra, we're dealing with this major issue, it's up until the Bein HaParashas. The Parashas are those branches. So once you get to the area where those branches are, it's at that point that there's going to be an issue. Says the Gemara, Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak HaKabayil Meizel Beichayzai. Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak once wanted to go to the town of Beichayzai. Also the Kamed, Rav Yehuda. And he went first to Rav Yehuda. Maybe he went to Gezengzich with the Rebbe. I don't know. So he went first to Rav Yehuda. Amalei. And he was by Rav Yehuda. He told him, Lichvi Limar Bein HaParashas Heicha. You know, I know there's some Mesoira from Shmuel that the Chot HaShedra, up until the Bein HaParashas is very sensitive, so that Nifsak would render it into a treifa. But once you get past that point, then already not. So could you please demonstrate to me the area of Bein HaParashas? Amalei, so he told him, Zil Aisili Gediva Achvilach. Says, you want a demonstration? No problem. So he said, why don't you bring a Gedi, right? Today, you know, there's different Sfarim and books, but nah, this is old school. So you want to see it? Bring a Gedi. I'm going to show it to you. Aisili Gedi Shmenes. He brought him a fat Gedi. Amalei Bliatve. He says, I can't find these Bein HaShmashas. It's lost in the middle of all the fat. I can't find it. Right, Valedia? I just can't locate it. Aisile Kachash, he says, all right, let me bring you another one. So he overcompensated. He brought one that was like super skinny. Amalei told him, Belit in Tfei Valeyodia. He said, the hip bone is protruding too much. That's what Rashi says. And as a result, I can't see it either. Amalei, he says, you know what? Don't bring me a third Gedi because this is going nowhere fast. He said, no, let me explain to you. Agmarach Gemara. Let's open up a Gemara and let's do it that way. Let me tell you what Shmuel said. Ad achas, until the first place, the first set of these parashas, of these branches, so again, towards the tail end, pun intended, of the Chot HaShedra, so the Chot HaShedra starts branching out, but there's clusters of them. It happens once, and then there's more Chot HaShedra, it happens again, and then there's more Chot HaShedra, and it happens again. So again, you have all these clusters. So until the first one, treif, it's going to be a treif. Any issue is a treif. Now, when we say until the first one, is it ad bichl? The ad bechlal, or is it ad velo ad bechlal? So that's going to be the Gemara Shaila in a minute. But the bottom line is, until the first one, treifa. Shlishis, if it's already by the third cluster, ksheri, that's for sure, kosher. Shnia, as it relates to the eerie of the second cluster, any idea that I already don't know. So he said, until the first one, anything that you have is a treifa, meaning a nifsa, Chot HaShedra is going to be a problem. By the third area, where the third cluster is, it's going to be kosher. If it's by the second cluster, he said, that's a, to me, was a suffix. Wait, Rav Hunabrit, Rav Yeshua. So Rav Hunabrit, Rav Yeshua heard this member from Shmuel, and he said, ad v'ad b'chlal, oidum ad v'loi ad b'chlal. Right, you have to get very technical over here. So, right, sometimes if you ask that question, it's like, come on, right? Just understand the lumdis and go weiter. No, over here, this is a very technical area in halacha. So is it ad b'chlal, ad v'loi ad b'chlal? Meaning, what happens if the nifsa Chot HaShedra happened in the area of that first cluster? When he said, ad the first one, doesn't mean only up until, but if it happens in that cheftz of the area, so that already is going to be kosher. Or maybe it's ad v'ad b'chlal. Even that first area is going to be a problem. Says the Gemara, by Rapapa had another shayla, right? So the Gemara's not pleasure the shayla. But Rapapa said, Im tim ad v'le ad b'chlal, if you're going to tell me it's ad v'loy ad b'chlal. Meaning what? If the issue was in that first area, so the halach is it's going to be fine. Well, if that's the case, pi parasha mau, what would be in the event that the issue happened by the opening of where the branch is? Is that going to be different or is that not going to be different? Maybe that's a more sensitive area, and maybe over there it would render it a trade. By Rabbi Yirmi asked the question in the reverse. Im tim tzloi ma'ad va'ad b'chla. So again, we don't know if it's ad v'loy ad b'chlal or ad v'ad b'chlal. By Rapapa on the side, ad v'loy ad b'chlal. By Rabbi Yirmi on the side, ad v'ad b'chlal. Parasha, atzma mao. What about the actual parasha? What about the actual branch? So again, it's part of the Chot HaShedra, but it branched off already. Is that going to be different? So the Gemara says, Tashma, as it relates to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shailo, that we could be patient. HaParosha Tidain Kabasa. The Parosha itself is treated like meat. My love, Parosha Rishayna Vishniya. Doesn't it mean the Parosha of the Rishayna and the Shniya? What does this mean? The Parosha of the Rishayna and the Shniya. So again, Yirmiyahu is going on the tzad that it's Adva Advachal. That means the Parosha Rishayna, that first area, would render it a Trefa. And still, my life, in the parosha itself, the actual branch, is Tidan Kabasar. So if it's Nifsak, right, Nifsak Habasar, there's no issue. There's not going to be an issue. What does Shnia mean? Because Shnia, we said any idea. So Misafik, of course, you would have to be Machmer. But my love, as it relates to the parosha, that would be Nidan Kabasar. And that already wouldn't be an issue. But the Gemara says, Lloyd, there's no right Shlishis. Maybe it's referring to the Shlishis. The Shlishis. The Brisa wanted me to know that not only is the Chot HaShedra of that area not an issue, but even the branch itself, that also would not be an issue. So what's the bottom line? So the Chot HaShedra, that's Nifsak, we know is a treifa. The question is, Ad Heichon Chot HaShedra? Rav Yehuda Mashmul said, Ad Ben HaParoshes. But it requires beer, because there's a whole part of the animal that is Bein HaParoshes. So what more specifically does it mean? So the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda once explained to Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak, he said, Hachi Yom HaShmul, Ad Achas Trefa, Shlishis Kshera, et Shnia Eini Yodeya. And if this is not sussum enough, the Gemara is not even sure what Achas Trefa means. Does Ad Achas Trefa mean Adva Adbechal, or does it mean Adva Loi Adbechal? So again, as it relates to the first area of where these parashas are, so it's totally, if you hold Adva Adbechal, Adva Loi Adbechal. If Adva Adbechal, it would be a Trefa. If Adva Loi Adbechal, then what would it be? So then it would be Eini Yodea. How do you know it would be Eini Yodea? Because Shnia for sure is Eini Yodea. So if Shnia is Eini Yodea, there's no way Rishayna could be any more Kuladig than Shnia. Now, as it relates to Shnia, Shnia is for sure Eini Yodea. As it relates to Shlishis and anything that would be beneath that, that for sure already would be Kshera. One of the obvious questions that Rashi asks is that if really the first area is also considered an area of Eini Yodea, so why did Shmuel say Ad Achas Trefa, Shlishis Kshera, and Shnia Eini Yodea? He should have said that the Rishayin is also Eini Yodea. So Rashi asks the Kasha, and Rashi says, because really the Gemara expects you to know Adva Ad Bechal, Adva Le Ad Bechal. Take a look at the second Rashi, or some Gemaras, it's the first Rashi on the top of Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. But either way, Zok the Gemara, Ba'ifa, what about as it relates to an oif? So what's the cutoff point of the Chot HaShedra as it relates to Trefis when you're dealing with an oif? So this shear of the parashos, this is all in the context of a behemoth. What about as it relates to an oif? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Rabbi Yanai said, Ad lamatam en agafayim. It's until the area of the Chot HaShedra that goes underneath the wings. Reish Lakish, Amar Reish Lakish said, Ad beino agafayim. No, it's not all the way down to where it's already beneath the wings, but in the area that's Bein HaGafayim, that area already, at that point, the Chot HaShedra, if it's Nifsak, would not make the Oif into a Treif. Omar Ula Ula said, Havakim the Kameh de Ben Pazi. I was once sitting in front of Ben Pazi, Va'isim the Kameh Oifa, and they brought him an Oif, Ubadak, and he started being boited to Chot HaShedra, at Bein HaGafayim, until the area that was in between the wings, V'sholach Le'de Bein HaSiyah, and then they sent from the Bein HaSiyah, they said they want to speak to Ben Pazi. The Kami got up, Ozal, and he left. And he was never Baidik the rest of the Oif. And the Gemara says that I wasn't sure, this is Ula talking, whether the Loyodano, Imishum the Loyotzarch, Lemivliktfe. The reason he got up was because he felt he was Baidik enough anyways, and he just got a call, so let me grab the call. Imishum Kovin Nesiyah, or maybe no, really he would have been Baidik more. The only reason he wasn't Baidik more is because the Nasi called him. So he put the Bedika on hold, and he went weiter. But in terms of how much you have to be Baidik, maybe really you would have to be Baidik more. The bottom line is, Ula said, I wasn't sure whether this Maisa that happened when Ben Pazi is a Raya that he paskins that Ad Ben Agafayim like Reish Lakish, or maybe he holds the Matam and Agafayim really would be something that you need to be Baidik. And the only reason he wasn't Baidik more is because he got himself into this situation. Either way, this concludes the first part of today's daf, which deals with one of the Elu Trefis, which one Nifsak Chot HaShedra. So again, These are so technical, but what's like the super duper high level recap? So we had a whole bunch of shailas over here. Number one, when we talk about chut hashedra, does it mean that has to be nifsak beroiv, or is it already going to be a treifa if there's a nekev ba'alma? On the tzad that it's nifsak beroiv, how do you define roiv? Is roiv roiv oiroi, or is it roiv meichai? If it's roiv meichai, kol shkein roiv oiroi. If it's roiv oiroi, then the pashas in the Gemara was that roiv meichai itself wouldn't render it a treifa. What would be if it was nismarech the chut hashedra or nismasmes the chut hashedra? Those cases would be pasul. What would be if it was nismasmes? Then already it would be kosher. What would be if the chut hashedra didn't become liquid, it didn't become soft, it became hard, but at the bottom line is, it's affecting the animal in the same way that the animal gets affected when it becomes liquid, when it becomes soft. That was Rabbi Yirmiyah Shaila, and that the Gemara said already is going to be a takeo. What's the cutoff point of the Chut HaShedra? Is it the entire Chut HaShedra? Ad Heichon Chut HaShedra as it relates to these halachas. Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul said, Ad Bein HaParoshos. So there's a whole bunch of series of Paroshos. So could you explain this to me? Rabbi Yehuda said, yes, I could explain this to you. He told it to Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak, and he said, Ad Achas Trefa. Is it Ad Bechlal or is it Ad Velei Ad Bechlal? That's Shaila. And by the way, if you hold Ad V'lei Ad B'chlal, this is by Rabbi Papa. If you hold Ad V'ad B'chlal, this is by Rabbi Yirmiyah. As it relates to the Shnia, Eini Yodea, that's a real answer. Eini Yodea, we taka don't know. And as it relates to the Shlish, Shlish is going to be kosher. That's all for a behemoth. What about as it relates to a knife? Oh, it's until the wing area. Well, which wing area? It's to the, we're beneath the wings, or even in the area between the wings. That also was a shaila. There was a ma'is shaya kachaya, but even from that ma'is shaya kachaya, weren't able to prove anything, as Ula demonstrated in this last gemara that we just learned. First part of today's daf was very much not halacha l'maisa, because I think we left with about 17 questions. But either way, on that note, moving along in the Mishnah. So the next one of the treifas that the Mishnah mentions is nital hakoved v'leinishtayim menu klum. So in the event that the liver of the animal was removed and there's nothing left of it. Now it certainly sounds like from the Mishnah that if there's even a little bit of liver left over, that would be okay, right? So if you think of the liver, it's like the opposite of, take the veshet, for example. The veshet, a nekeb emashu, it's already a problem. The liver is fakir. As long as you have something left over, that in itself would be okay. It sounds like from the Mishnah, nitla hakoved, and nothing was left over. That's when it's going to be a treif. But if there's a klum, right, what does klum mean? Mamish, the little particle possible. As long as there's a little bit of living shear, it's going to be kosher. Afagafli have a kezayis. And there's no shear of kezayis. Now, usually you think of kezayis and sugyas of achila, machal sasurois, but no. Sounds like there would have been a havamina, it should be a kezayis, but Mishnah doesn't say anything about a kezayis. Faith Gemara, how could you say that? But now we learned in the Mishnah. Now this is the other Mishnah, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalet, that has a whole nother series of treifas, and it says over the nita lakoved, v'nishtayir heimena kezayis ksheira. It sounds like that when is a kosher, if it was nita lakoved, v'nishtayir heimena kezayis. So we have a stira. Our Mishnah is mashma, that nita lakoved v'nishtayir heimena. Sounds like klum, right? That as long as something is there, it already wouldn't be a treifa. But from the Mishnah Dafnan Dalet, it's mashman that you would need a kezayis to be the Rav Yois. Rav Yois said like kasha. It's not a kasha. Ha Rav Chia, ha Rav Shimon ben Rebbe. One Mishnah is going according to Rav Chia. The other Mishnah is going according to Rav Shimon ben Rebbe. Which one is which? And what is this machloikis? So the Gemara says, Ki Rav Chia zorakla. Rav Chia, when he would shecht an animal. So Rashi has two pshatim how to learn this Gemara. By the way, if you go through the Rashis over here inside, so there's like two sets of Rashis, and which is consistent for a lot of Masechtas Chulin. Rashi has like two completely distinct mahalchim how to learn a lot of these Gemaras. But we're going to go with Rashi's second mahalach, and that is that Rav Chia, when he would shecht a regular animal, so the liver he would throw away, zarakla. And the reason is he believed that there was nothing nutritious about the liver, and therefore I don't need it. So he would discard it. Rav Shimon ben Rebbe, matpala, no, he would take it, he would dip it into something, he would actually eat it. Now what do you see from here? Rav Chia holds there's no nutritional value to the liver. Rav Shimon ben Rebbe holds that there is nutritional value. L'may nafgemina, according to Reb Chiya, that there's no nutritional value at all, so it's not so important to the animal. If it's not so important, if a little bit is left over, that already would make it ois treifa. Whereas according to Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, it has nutritional value. It means it's adding something to the animal. If it's adding something to the animal, you probably need a sheer chashav of it in order for it to add to the animal, and therefore you'd have to have a kezias. Says the Gemara, by the way, v'simanich, a good way to remember whether it was Reb Chiya or Reb Shimon ben Rebbe that used to eat the liver or used to discard the liver. So here's your simin. Ashirin mekamtsin. The gvirim are mekamtsin, right? The rich get richer because they know how to watch and protect their money. So who is the gvir between Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe? I mean, that's easy. So we know Reb Yehuda Hanasi was Torah v'gdula b'makom echad. He was an asher muflig. Rabbi Mechaber Ashirim and all the different Chazal that talk about this inyan, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe was his son, so it's fair to assume that it's Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, he is the Oysher, that was Mekametz, right? He used to keep it. Reb Chiya wasn't such a gvir, and he somehow made a little bit like, he said, the covey doesn't have so much nutritional value, I'm going to throw it out. Tzok Tigmar, who pulmasa, the asa lepumpadisa. There was a pulmas, Rashi says, this was a Chil HaShultans, these were troops, military people that came to Pompadisa, and because of this, the Rabbanim had to run away. Orgu Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef ran away. Pagabu Rabbi Zeira met Amalahu. So Rabbi Zeira told Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, Arukoi, fugitives, right? Orku means to run away. So he referred to them as fugitives. Kezayish Amru, when the Mishnah says, it's the later Mishnah, Daf Nun Dalet, that a kezayis of the kovid is how much you would need in order for it not to be considered a treifa. So it has to be b'makom mara. It has to be in the area where the liver meets the gallbladder. So if it's at that point, then it's going to be okay. But if it's somewhere else, even if there's a kezayis, it's not going to be okay. Rav Adabar Ahava, Rav Adabar Ahava says, b'makom shichaya. No, it doesn't have to be in the area of the gallbladder, but it's b'makom shichaya. Now, Rashi has two pshat on what this means. We'll pick one of them. Rashi says it's the area underneath the kidneys. So it's either where it meets the gallbladder or it's where it meets the kidneys. Amra Papa, Papa said, Hilchach is for this reason, be'inon kezayis b'makom mara, or be'inon kezayis b'makom shechai. By the way, this is a signon of Rav Papa. Rav Papa does a salat throughout Shas where there's a machloikis, and Rav Papa says, let's do both. Why fight? Let's get along. It's being that there's a sheet that has to be the area that's near the gallbladder, and there's a sheet that has to be the area near the kidneys. So no, we might as well go ahead and paskin be'inon kezayis makom mara, be'inon kezayis makom shechai. Otherwise, we're going to render this as a suffix trefet. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, here's another Rabbi Yirmiyah. Mislakit mahu. What would be if you have a kezayis? It's in the right area, but it's not one shot. It's not on one continuum. So there's a little bit here, a little bit here, but if you mitzarif all the chatzi shears, you're going to end up with a shear. Okeritzu amau. What would be if it's not shaped like a kezayis? It's like this weird shape. It's shaped like a strip. But Rav Ashi wants to know, kezayis merudin mau. What if it's very flat? So again, it's a kezayis, but it's a flat kezayis. All these things, the Gemara says, teku boy mine rab zreka mirabami. Nidaldol kaved umu'ura betarpeshe. What would be if the kaved got dislodged, but it's still attached to the animal betarpeshe? So it's attached. Tarpeshe apparently means the diaphragm, but in kabbalah he nekabel. But either way, so nidaldol kaved. If the liver got somehow dislodged and it's now attached, but it's not attached in a proper way that it's supposed to be. What's the halacha? Amalei, he told him, dilduze any of them. I don't know why you're asking such a question. Ilamandam of makamar. If the going according to mandam that holds, you have to have a kezayis makamar ha'ika. You have it. Ilamandam makam shichayo ha'ika. You have a kezayis? Yeah. So then, what kind of question is this? I don't understand why, if it was nidaldula, would the halacha change in any way? Either way, this concludes the liver part of today's menu, and that is, what's the halacha as it relates to liver, or bad pun, chopped liver, right? So what would the halacha be? I mean, that's too easy. So the halacha is that if you take a look at the Mishnah said, nitel hakoved v'loy nishtayir heimenu klum. So it sounds like as long as there's a little bit of liver, that is going to be okay. The problem is, there's a Mishnah, L'kaman daf nun dalet, where the Mishnah says it has to be in a shtayim imenu kezayis. So which one is it? So first things first, the Gemara said, HaRebi HaRep, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe HaRep Chiya. According to Reb Chiya, a little bit would be enough. According to Reb Shimon ben Rebbe, you would have to have a kezayis. Then the Gemara had a discussion, where does the kezayis have to be? One mandama said it has to be next to the gallbladder. The other mandama said it has to be next to the kidneys. And Rav Papa, like he often does in Shas, says, Hilkach, let's do both. And if you don't have both, I'm not going to be comfortable saying it's kosher. Now, is it all clear? No, I think there's a lot of shaylas you can clear. Yeah, in fact, the Gemara clears these shaylas. In fact, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rosh Ha'ibayas in Shas, is the mandama of some of these shaylas. What would be if the kezayis is not in one place? What would be if it's shaped like a strip? What would be if it's flattened? What would be if the liver is there, but it's hanging on for dear life? It's like somehow stuck in the diaphragms. It's not mamish where it's supposed to be. It was somewhat dislodged. It was what the Gemara refers to as nidaldal kaved, but at the same time, it's there. So that one shiloh, the Gemara said, I don't even have. For that, you don't need teiku. That's easy. Then, you have a kezayis. And if you have a kezayis, I think that certainly would be okay. So going back to the Mishnah. The next treifa mentioned in the Mishnah is the reya, the lungs. The Mishnah said, hareya shen nikva, the reya that has a hole, usha chasra, or it's missing something, Reb Shimon Amir, that's considered a trefer. Reb Shimon said, acha tinok ilvesas impoinus, it's not enough that the hole is in the reya itself, it would have to go all the way until the infamous bronchi, but it has to go until the besas impoinus, and if it doesn't go to the besas impoinus, it's not going to be considered a trefer. Zok de Gemara. Reya shenikva, as it relates to the reya shenikva, so the background to this next Gemara that we're going to learn is very simple, and that is the reya is covered, it's protected by a layer of skin, a membrane, and that layer of skin, that membrane, is protected by another layer of skin, another membrane. So there's two membranes that encase the reya. Zok de Gemara. Rav Shmuel v'Ravasi da'amri. Rav Shmuel and Rav Asni all said, karma ila, that when we say the reya was nikva, it means, even if it was only the karma ila, it's only that outest membrane, that itself would be enough. Amri la, some say karma tata, no, it would have to be the karma tata. Amri Rav Yisrael, Amri Yumi, Amri Rav Nachman, v'simonech, a way to remember karma tata is kituna durda, the mancha bei reya. Just think of a lung that's encased in a sinus, like the old Roman tunics, that's in this red garment. What's the point? The point is that the karma tita was red. So a way to remember that it's all about the karma tita is just think of the reya in this red tunic, and that's going to be your way of remembering this, says the Gemara. So again, we had a shayl over here. Hareya shenikfa. Is it the karma yila? Or is it karma tata? Says the Gemara, pshita, as much as we just had this discussion. So the Gemara, it's pashit, I inkev ila ve inkev tata. In the event that there's a nekev in the ila, and there's no nekev in the tata, tata megan, the tata is going to be megan, and even though the Gemara says kiderab, it's really rava, kiderab. Oh my, rava said, hi reya da aglet. If you have a reya that was peeled, aglet means it was peeled, so you remove the layer of a skin, and it looks now like a red date. Ahina, which is a date, sumka is red. Ksheira, the halach is, it's going to be kosher. What's the point? The point is that if it's red, we said that inner, the tata karma, is red. So if it looks red, because all you see is the lower membrane, kosher, it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara says, pshita, I inka vila, I inka vtata, it's fine, because even if it doesn't just have a nekev, even if you peeled it, you remove that entire outer layer, that in and of itself is going to be okay. So just realize what the Gemara did. We started off Rav Shmuel v'Rav Asi, the Amri Karma Ila. Karmi law. That if there's a nekev karmi law, it's not going to be okay. But Amri law, some said karmi tata. Three lines later, the Gemara says, pshita. You don't even have to have this conversation. Inka vila, vila inkev tata, tata megan. And being that tata is megan, it's going to be okay. Now, what do those words mean, tata megan? If there's a nekev in the karma, right, the reason there's a concern is because that's ultimately going to manifest in a nekev in the reya. But if tata is megan, then you don't have to worry about that. Zok de Gemara. Inkev tata. What would be if there was a nekev in the tata? Inkev ila. But there's no nekev in the ila. Megan aloy megan. So now you have a nekev in the tata, but there's no nekev in the ila. Do you need the tata to be megan? Or no, that's just like your second layer of defense. But if you have the ila, you're still going to be protected, and there's no reason to assume that this animal should be a trefa. So again, you see an interesting nuance over here, that what we're concerned about, when we talk about the nekev in the membranes, it's because the nekev in the membranes is ultimately going to create a nekev in the actual reya. So the lower layer for sure has the ability to protect. And that's why Rava said that if you peeled off that outer layer, even if you turned it into an ahina sumka, it's still going to be kosh. The question is what in the reverse? What happens if you remove the lower peel and you have the outer? Will the outer be Megan or not? So the Gemara says it was machlokes. Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Rabbi Nechadam aloi Megan. One said it's not Megan, v'chadam aloi Megan. V'hilchas and the halacha is Megan. It's going to be Megan. And you now you know this kid, Rav Yosef. Like Rav Yosef said, I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, hi, Reya da'afsho. So if you have a Reya that's making noise. Okay, so what's the background to this? The background is, so the Sheikhet took the Reya out of the animal, after he shechted the animal, and he blew into the Reya. Right? He blew it up like you blow a balloon. So he blew it up. And now it's whistling, right? It's making noise. Now, the fact that it's making noise could be a sign that ear is coming out of it, and that would be a sign of there being a nekev somewhere, and if there's a nekev somewhere, it would be a problem. Or it could be the reason it's making noise is because ear is just traveling within the Reya. And by the way, if you see a picture of the Reya, so you have all those wings, those lobes. So it could be it's going between layers of skin. Right? Could be it's just traveling around, and as a result, so maybe it's not necessarily a simon of a trefa. So Rav Yosef said, hi, Reya da'afsho. So you want to know, is there a nekev? And that's what's causing this hissing sound. And if that's the case, you know, your animal's not a kosher animal. Or maybe no, maybe the animal's just traveling, or the ear is just traveling within, and therefore there's not a problem. So he says like this, Iyadin and Hecha Afsho, if you can locate the area that the noise is coming from, Mesfinan ala gatfa, you should take a wing and put it on top of it, Ayruka, put a little spit on it, Aygila, or put a straw on top of it. If it flutters, it's a sign it's a trefa. It means that hole is causing it to flutter. That's like an aggressive sound, and therefore it's a trefa. And if not, let's say you don't know where this noise is coming from, so you can't do that. So you bring a bucket that has lukewarm water inside of it. And you put this inside of it. Now, make sure it's lukewarm. Don't bring boiling hot water to the kapsi, because what it's going to do is it's going to cause the hole to contract, and could be there was a hole there that really rendered it a treif. It's not going to be there anymore. Bikariri loy, don't bring cold the metarshi, because it's going to cause the hole potentially to expand, and you may end up making this animal a treif when really it wasn't supposed to be a treif, because it's going to superficially, artificially create some sort of hole that really wasn't there. Ella, what should you do? You should bring lukewarm water, and then you should blow into it. If it's going to start again fluttering, that's a sign that it's a trefa. And if not, it's not going to flutter. Kshera, it's going to be kosher. And you want to know why it's going to be kosher? Because we're going to assume tata inkiv, iloloy inkiv. That what happened over here was there's a lower membrane, that tata that has a hole inside of it, but the upper knot, v'hayda afsha, and the reason it's making this noise is zika debeni beniyu. It's because of the wind that's going in between these membranes. But here's the point. If it's going to flutter, so that means the hole is in the ilah. But if it's not going to flutter, so that means there's a hole here. That's why you're hearing the hissing. But at the same time, it's not being manifest that if you put like a feather on top of it, or if you blow into it, it's not going to do what it would do if the hole was exposed to the outside. Because as much as there's a hole, the hole is inside, but really it's protected. But what do you see from here? If it's tata inkiv, and ilah loy inkiv, ksher, it's going to be kosher, which means that the ilah has the ability to be megan. So again, what was the shaila? The shaila was that what would be if the lower membrane had a hole, but the outer one did not have. In the reverse, it was pshita. If the outer one had a hole, the lower didn't, for sure the tata is megan. But what about in the reverse? It was a machlekes Rav Acha and Ravina. By the way, stam Rav Acha, we know it's Rav Acha Brei de Rava. And he argued with Ravina, not shocking. Rav Acha Brei de Rava and Ravina on the sides, both on the right side of Rav Ashi, as it's all going down. But the bottom line is chadam aloy megan v'chadam amegan v'hilchas amegan k'd Rav Yosef. You see from Rav Yosef's science experiment that it's clear that Rav Yosef's of the opinion that the only time we would render this animal a treif is if the hole is exposed to the outside. But to the extent that the hole is in the tata, it's not in the law. In that instance, you would not have that issue. Either way, this is the conclusion of this next part here of the Eilu Treifa. So again, the Mishnah said, Hareya Shenikfa. If there's a hole in the Reya, that's going to be a problem. One thing is clear. You don't need the hole to be in the Reya. Even if it's in the membrane, that protects the Reya, that in of itself is going to be an issue. What's the definition of membrane? Specifically, the Reya has two. There's the Ilah, the upper one, and there's the Tata, there's the lower one. So the Gemara started, Rav Shmuv, Rav Asi, all said that Karma Ilah. There were those that said that Karma Tata. And the Gemara, really in the postscript, you know, did a major edit on this. Number one, as it relates to the first sheet, the Karma Ilah, the Gemara came out and said that as much as Rav and Shmuel Rav Asi said this, but Rava, who's a future generations, said Pshita i'inkav ilava i'inkav tata. The halachas that tata is going to be making. And as it relates to the karma tita, there too there was a shaila. Is the karma tita, but only also if karma ilah? I mean, is the karma ilah megan or is the karma ilah not megan? And the Gemara came out hilchasa, the karma ilah is actually megan. So if there would be a hole on the karma tata, as long as the karma ilah is intact, well, then it's not going to be a treifa. Zok the Gemara, ahini sumka the yavesh gildisim and gufa. Amar Rava, more halachas from Rava as it relates to this. Hai reya the iglid kahina sumka kshayv. So this halacha we just had. So the lung that was peeled so that it looks red now, like a red date, it's going to be cautious. Okay, and what does it mean that it looks like a red date? It means that lower membrane, which is red, is intact. Amar Rava, Rava said, reya shehedima miktsasa. A reya that became red, but miksas is going to be kasher kula. If it became entirely red, treifa, it's going to be a treifa. So here we're talking about a reya that became red because there's some gathering of blood inside the reya. So it has some sort of bruise or some sort of ailment that caused the blood to gather in one place. Hence, you see the redness. The blood didn't leave the Reya. There's no hole, but you see the red. So Rava said that if it happened in Miktsas, it's going to be kosher. If it happened Kula, it's going to be a problem. Only Ravina, the Rava, so I'm going to turn to Rava. He said, Miktsas am I time? What's the reason if it's been Miktsas? You're saying it's kosher. Probably the Hadrabari, because this is not a Trefa. It's going to end up at some point having a refuah from this machlo. Well, if that's the case, kula nama hadrabari. You should say the same thing if it's kula. Miloi tanya. In fact, he said, didn't we learn in a brayse of a shashkatsim v'ramasim? So the shashkatsim v'ramasim is referring to, right, the other of what? It's in contrast to the shmoyna shratzim. And we're talking about Hilcha Shabbos over here. So if somebody goes ahead and makes a chaval on Shabbos, that's one of the lamatas malachas. Says the brayse, as it relates to the other shkatsim v'ramasim, with the exception of the shmoyna shratzim. If somebody bruises it, it's not considered that he was chayvul b'Shabbos, unless blood comes out. If blood comes out, yeah. But if blood does not come out, not. So what do you see from here? That just because there's a little bit of blood, but if it doesn't leave the body, it's not considered a chavala. You didn't kill it because probably because it's going to have a refuah. And there's no distinction that's made between a little bit, a lot of it. It's going to be fine. So the Gemara thinks it's a tsushtel to the ray of the animal that just because you see red, even if it's kula, it should still be okay. Now, you'll tell me, you're going to tell me, how do I know tishtel tsu, the ray that's red, to the shar shkotzim v'ramotzim? Where if this blood that's aggregated in the area, it's not an issue, maybe we should compare it instead to the Shemayna Shwatz. Tanya learned to the Brayso, Nitzer Hadam, if the dam all gathered in one area, Afal Pishala Yotza, even if it didn't leave, what's the halacha? The halacha is, it's still going to be a problem. So maybe say the same thing over here, but the Gemara says, Ihachi, if Rava held that you compare the Reya to the Shmoyna Shratzim and not the Shash Shratzim, then I feel a Miktsas Anami. Then even the Miktsas should have been an issue. Ella, from the fact that he said the Miktsas it's not a problem, then for sure he's not equating it to the Shmoyna Shratzim, he's equating it to the other Shratzim. Just because there's this aggregate of blood, but being that it didn't leave, it's not going to be an issue, and must be Ella Loishna. There must be no chilek between if it happened b'miktsas, if it happened b'kula, because to the extent that you're comparing it to the shar shrotzim, it means hoder cholim, it's going to have a refuah, and it doesn't matter if it's a miktsas or if it happened b'kula. Either way, this should not be a problem. Amar Rav, Rav said, Reya sheyofsha miktsas a treifa. The reya that dried out, even a little bit, becomes a treifa. Kama, how dry is dry? Amar Rav Papi, Meshmei Derava, Kidei Shetifach B'tzipayon. It means that if you take your fingernail, you put on top of it, it's going to crumble. That's how dry it is. Zok the Gemara, come on, Krabesi Ben HaMasholim. It sounds like this must be like Reza B'Sholim. The time we learned in the Mishnah, is a he. Yavsha, what's the definition of dry? Now, this Mishnah is talking about in the context of mumin of kachim, specifically a bechar, specifically the ear of a bechar. Okay, so what's the definition of a dry ear? It means it's so dry that if you make a hole in it, no blood's going to come out. It has to be drier than that. It has to be mamish to the point where it's already nefreches betzipayim, where if you put your fingernail on top of it, it's already going to break. Bottom line, you have a machlokes over here, you define dry. Now, granted, that's in the sugyas of mumin, regarding the ear, regarding a bechar, regarding kachim, but dry is dry is dry. So says the Gemara that if Rava said that, what's the definition of a reya sheyafsha? It's kadesha tifarach betzipayrin. So it sounds to me like he's being machri and a machlokes tanan. It's Rabbi Yosef and Amishulim's definition of dry. It's not like the Chachamim's definition of dry. The Gemara says, no, filo temi rabbana, kubi rava is going even according to the rabbana. Gabi oizen, when it comes to the oizen of the bechar, the kashalot bezika, which is exposed to the elements, right? The ear is exposed. So loy hadrabari. So over there, kubi, once it's dry enough that it's not moitzidam, at that point we say it's already a mum, because it's not going to heal. Aval reya, as it relates to the reya, the loika shalat ba'avira, which was before you shechted it, right, minding its own business inside this animal. So over there, if it was only dried to the point where it's not maitzidam, hadrabari, we would assume that it would be hadrabari, and it's for that reason, here you would need the bigger definition, even according to Rabbanan. So la'olam says the Gemara, Rava was not being machriya in this machloikis. Rava felt that there's a distinction, there's a nafkamina, there's a chilek between the definition of dry when it comes to the ear of the bechar versus the definition of dry as it relates to the reya. Amar Rava, Rava said, hi reya, the kaima gildi gildi. A reya that is gildi gildi. So what does this mean? So Rashi says, klipois klipois, right? Klipos can mean a lot of things, depending on if you're looking at a Gemara, if you're looking at a Zayir, but klipos klipos, Rashi says. And then Rashi says, kein makos, but it's like makos. So apparently these are some sort of sores, some sort of bruises. So the reya that has these bruises, uchmi uchmi, if they're black, black, meaning they're black, or chazusa chazusa, they're colored, colored, ksheir, it's going to be kasher. So gildi, gildi, uchmi, uchmi, chazusa, chazusa. So someone had a sense of humor. But if it's gildi, gildi, uchmi, uchmi, chazusa, chazusa, that loch is ksher, it's going to be kosher. So if it has bruises, bruises that are black, black, colors, colors, me kosher. Now Rashi says when we say chazusa, chazusa, ksher, it actually doesn't mean all colors. It doesn't mean every single color in the world is going to be kosher, but it means only certain colors. Rashi says like red and green, and Rashi sends us to Memzayin Mabez, which is tomorrow's daf, so we won't have that much suspense. But we'll see already tomorrow that there are certain colors that would actually be kosher, and that's what we're referring to, but not all koshers are going to be kosher. One more Gemara. Again, this is Rava. In Makifin Babui. That when it comes to Bui, in Makifin. So what does Makifin mean, and what does Bui mean? So Makifin literally means you don't bring near. But we need the more loose translation. It means we don't compare. Bui are blisters. So again, this is also based on Gemara's coming up in the next few dafin. And that is that there's an idea that after somebody shechts, if he's going to be boidik the reya, to see if it has a hole or doesn't have a hole, you always have to bavarn a little bit that maybe the hole that's there, assuming you found one, is based on the fact that the shaychet might have punctured it while he was handling it, right? So you have to handle with care. So maybe the shaychet, who's holding this organ, right, he might have punctured it and something might have happened. So what they would do is they would take the reya, they would make their own hole inside of it and then compare the two holes. If the two holes look alike, so it looks like it probably happened by right by the surgeon. It might have happened by him. If, however, they don't look alike, so then we're going to assume this one was natural and this one happened unnaturally, and as a result, we have a treif over here. Here's the question. What would be if the animal has a blister and there's a hole in the blister? Could you make the same shtickel teira? Because no two holes in a blister look the same. Again, this is above my pay grade. And the bottom line is, as much as you can compare holes in the reya, but not in the blisters of the reya. And this is what Rava meant when he said, either way, the daf ended with a whole bunch of different halachas related to Rava and reyas, right? Rava and lungs. We, however, for our purposes, are going to stop here in the middle of all these Amar Ravas, right? You see the next word of the Gemara is Amarava. If you look in the top of Mem Zayin Amar Aleph, it's for Amarava. If you look 5 lines from the top, it's also for Amarava. So again, the Gemara is going to continue in this theme with all these Amaravas related to these halachas, but we will stop here. So as it relates to raid, just to go back briefly to some of the raid that we spoke about yesterday and to do an abridged part two. So we mentioned that the Pischei Tshuva in Yeridei Simin Kuf Tez Zayin, he brings from the Soilis Lemincha, who quotes the Teres HaAsham. By the way, thank you, Rabbi Yisrael Vider. The Soilis Lemincha was Rabbi Yaakov Reisher, the Baal Shvos Yaakov. The Teres HaAsham is the Teisvus Yantav. So essentially, he's quoting is the Pischei Tshuva, the Shvos Yaakov, who quoted the Teisvus Yantav, who said that as much as we know there's an Inyan in Halacha of Baal Nefesh Yachmer, but that's only in the event that there's some gray area where a chacham with paskin, for example, on a behema, based on a svara leheter. So you have a right to be paranoid and to be frum and to say, I'm not 100% sure that this pesach got it right. And as a result, even though I know an halacha, I'm allowed to follow what the pesach said, but at the same time, I want to be machmer. But said the Soil Samincha, quoting the Teres HaAsham, that what would be if you have something that's mutter, and it's mutter based on a halacha mifureshes and shas. For example, klishe niyene mevashel, or bitl b'shishim. Over there, if somebody's going to go, and he's going to be machmer, not only is it tavayol of bracha, not only is he, oh wow, what a bal nefesh, but hareze minus. What you're doing is minus, and the reason is because you're really undermining Divrei Chazal, who said that cliche ni'enim evashel, and who said that bitul b'shishim. And even though what you're doing is a chumrah, I don't care. You're not allowed to undermine Divrei Chazal l'kula. You're also not allowed to undermine Divrei Chazal l'chumrah. So we mentioned that Rav Reuven Margolis in his Sefer Nefesh Chaya, in Aruchayim, Simen Reish Nen Zayin, so he's malakit different marmakoymes, where you find in Poiskim and in Rishonim, and even in Chazal, this idea where Chazal was sensitive not to be machmer, even though chumras are usually a good thing, but not to be machmer where you're blatantly going kenet Chazal, and not only is it not something that a person should do, but it's actually a bechin of minus, it could be an inyan of zaki mamre, you could be literally touching on some of the most chumra things in the world. Some of the examples that we mentioned were the Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos and Simen Reish Nun Zayin with regards to the laws of Chamin B'Shabbos. And if someone's Machmer Chamin B'Shabbos, the Ramah says it's an Indian of Minos. We mentioned the Tshuva from the Maram in Rutenberg, who said that he used to think that he knew people that were Machmer not to eat Basar after Gvina in the same way that they're Machmer not to eat Gvina after Basar. And he says in his mind, he always thought it was a Bechina of Minos. We mentioned the Rambam and then the Hilchas Shavuos that says that if somebody says you can't be Shoyel on a Shavua, it's the Shemitz of Minos. We mentioned the Lashon HaYerushalmi, the second parak of Masechet Avodah Zarah, where Shmuel told Rav that if you're going to be machmer on Shem and Akum and not rely on the heter of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, I'm going to say on you that you're a Zakin Mamre. We mentioned the Tshuvas HaRosh, who reached out to this Yid, Rabbi Yaakov or Moshe from Balincia, and he said things that had the Rosh not said, you wouldn't even believe the Rosh would have said. And that was because this person was being machmer and not relying on a tzuris ha-pesach and ilchas erevin when it comes to a mavi that's mefulish l'rishus ha-rabim. But the bottom line is, hatzad ha-shava of this smorgasbord of halachas is that it's not so poshet for a person to be machmer. The mokim, where Chazal said mefurish, that really what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to be mekel. It's a fascinating idea. But if you think about it for a minute, it's something that requires beer. Because at the end of the day, we know there's a concept of Kaddish Atzmecha b'Mutalach. So I know this is Mutter, but at the same time, I want to be Noyeg Kedusha Yaseira. Why can't I be a Kaddish Atzmecha b'Mutalach? Why is that an issue? If somebody says, I don't want to eat meat because I want to be Noyeg Kedusha Yaseira, I think that's fine, right? You have to eat meat? You're allowed to not eat meat. The Nazir, according to one man, the Amar, is a Kaddish. Kalayosha B'tainis, according to one man, the Amar, is a Kaddish. So there is an idea where a person has a right to be Machmer. So if I could be Machmer and say, I'm not going to eat meat, even though I know it's kosher, I'm not denying the fact that it's kosher, but I want to be Machmer. So why would it be worse to say that if a little bit of non-kosher meat, just think about it, falls into your kosher meat, I say, I don't want to eat from this pot because I know there's a little bit of non-kosher over here. How could that somehow be worse? L'chura, how do you reconcile this idea with the concept of Kaddish Atzmecha B'Motalach? Just to bring out the kasha a little bit stronger, the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Gimel turns his attention to the Midah of Prishos. And he has a few prokim that talk about precious, and I think it's kedai to just read together a few excerpts. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Vihine, Klala precious hu masha amru zecherinu levracha. The general idea of precious is what Chazal said, Kaddish atzmecha b'mutalach. That there's an idea that you can make yourself holy and kaddish even with things that are mutar. V'zoisi hayra'asa shel hamila atzma, precious. And really, if you understand the etymology of the word precious, you see it in the word itself. Ratzaloi mar, li'ayis poyresh umarchik atzmei min hadavar. V'haynu sha'oisrael atzmei davar hater. What you essentially do is you say that something that's really mutar, I'm going to treat as asr. V'hakavana b'zeh, why would a person do this? And why is this a maila? Why is this a good thing? Sh'loi lefgaya b'isar atzmei. The reason this is a good thing is because if you are poyresh from things that are mutter, well, you're now a few degrees farther removed from things that are asa. Interesting point. We don't care so much that you made yourself asa from things that are mutter. If it's mutter, it's mutter. But what we like about it is that you're now so removed from this inyan that I'm never going to come to go ahead and do the thing that I'm really not supposed to do. V'ho'inyan. Shekol dover sheyuchali volid mimenu grom asra. The concept of prishos is that any inyan, anything that something bad can come from, afal pisha achshav enoy goyrim loy, yirchok v'yirfresh mimenu. Even if right now, what you're doing is not really ra, but the farther away and the more you can separate, hence the word prishos, from that, this is something that's going to be okay. And then the Mesilas Yesharim talks about, how do you know you have a right to even do this, right? Don't Chazal say, Loidayach Masha Asra Torah, Sha'atabal Lesser Alecha Dvar Macherim, that's the Yerushalmi Mesechtnis Nadarim, quotes another Yerushalmi, Asid Adam Litein Din Lefnei HaMokoyim, Alko Masha Ro, Eina V'loi Rotzo Lecho Mimen, right? So we know there's an idea that Chazal say it's not so poshit to go ahead and just distance yourself from these things. Says the Mesilas Yesharim, Hatshuvahi, that it's based on Kedoshim Tiyu, and we've learned from there, Prushim Tiyu. There's an Indian that, no, to the contrary, this is actually something that's good. I'm skipping a little bit. V'nevar ata aprishas hatayv. Let me explain to you how this works. After we explain, and this is already in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, that everything in this world on Nisyonos, u'kmoyshe kasavnu kvar lo mailo, v'hichachnu berayos, v'esamis lanu gam kein, roiv chulshas adam, v'kir v'astayta el kolaroyos. And, you know, we talked about how weak people are, and how easy and vulnerable we are to do things that we're not supposed to do. Yizbore behechrech, so from there it becomes clear that the more a person can save himself from all in yoni yolam haza, he should do. And says the reason is because every tainig in the world, even a tainig that's mutter, ultimately will lead a person to do something wrong. We'll just mention one mashal. Derech mashal. Hamaychal v'hamishta. Think of food. Kesheniku mikoli suri achila. Hinei mutarim heim. You learn Masech Teshulin from one bookend to the other. You shecht your meat. There's no treifis. There's no issues. Not basav v'chalav. You're allowed to eat the meat, right? Amnam says in Masech Teshulin. Let's be honest. Milu hakares. As soon as a person fills up his stomach, moishach achra prikasal. It's going to lead him to prikasal. Umishta hayayim. When you drink wine, moishach achrav hasnus ushnaar minam ram. Certainly, if you don't just eat, but you fress.
Right?
kinyan. He says another thing. If a person goes ahead and he gets used to eating good foods, forget about this nus and forget about the precursor oil. You get used to a good thing. What happens if you get used to a good thing? So you have to fund your burn rate. Now let's say you can't come up with the money. He starts swearing falsely. You have no time anymore to serve Hashem. Who has time to learn? I have to make money, right? Who has time to daven? Had the person not engaged so much in Olam Hazeh, he would have never gotten to the point that he doesn't have any time. He says, right, you see a person sometimes, you can get a sense of where it's going to lead. Says, you want to understand precious, just think of that mashal. It's so posh. He says, you start eating, and before you know it, you don't have time to learn. Very simple. You could draw a straight line between those two things. So you're going to tell me precious is not a chashuva thing? He says, of course precious is a chashuva thing. And he goes on and he goes from there to precious of other tanugim, and he explains in chapter and verse each one of these things exactly how it plays itself out. But either way, precious is a chashuva thing. For a person to be machmer, it's very, very chashuva. Just go through the Mesilas Yishon. Right? Anytime you see any thing related to one of these midos. So the Maror Makom is the Mesilas Yesharim. It's the clearest sefer of all time, written by the Ramchal, the Avi HaMekubalim. So it's just so clear the way he lays out the importance and the chashivas of what precious is. Then the Mesilas Yesharim, I'm skipping more, and Perek Yudala talks more about it. He says that I think you could take precious and you could divide it into three groups. The one that we need is the second. HaPrishus Bedinim. And hula hachmer behem tamed. It's to always be machmer when it comes to halacha. Lachosh afilu ledivrei yachid b'machloikis. In fact, you know how it would manifest itself? If you know there's a machloikis and there's a das yachid, even though we don't paskin like the yachid, you should be a parish in din and you should paskin like the yachid. Im tamay nira, like if you think that what he's saying makes sense. Afilu shein halacha kamoisai. Ubetanai shloyeh chumra kulai. Just make sure you're really being machmer, you're not being mekel. Ula hachmer besveikos afilu b'makom. So you can be makel by a svek sveka. Oh, there's an inyan to be machmer. Sveka the rabbanu lekula. There's an inyan to be machmer. Ukvar biaru lanu achachom and zechroni lefrachom. I'm Yecheskel. Chazal already learned from Yecheskel. Hinei nafshi loy metuma. Unavelu shmefalei ochalti menure vad atav leibasa befibsar pigel. So what do we learn from there? So we know the Gemara in two places. Chulin lamidzayin and chulin memdalid. Shloy ochalti mehemeshoyer bachacham. Vloy ochalti bepsar kois kois. Vine kolzem muter humen adin vadai. And it's a form of precious. It's what the Mesil Sashan refers to as precious bedinim. Here's the bottom line. You see, a person is allowed to be a Pirish. It's actually a good thing to be a Pirish. And in fact, in the world of precious, the Mesil Sasharim has a subcategory that he refers to as precious bedinim. So I ask you, how does precious bedinim shtim with all this raid that if a person is machmer, when Chazal said the halach is like this, then you're actually a min and maybe even a zakin mamre? How do you reconcile this? How do you make sense of this? The Mesil Sasham says mefurish that if I'm machmer, afal pisha ein halacha kemoisai, I could do it. And if I take on the tzad achumra when it comes to sveikas, so even though I'm allowed to be mekel, this is already going to be a dover choshuv. It's a dover of kedusha. It's a dover of precious. How exactly do you go and reconcile these ideas? Now the truth is, you could get nuance, and you could say that even the Mesilas Yesharim is talking about not a case where everybody agrees it's mutter, where there's a das yachid, where at the very least there's a suffix, but I think that would require us to revisit the six examples that we gave. There's no das yachid that holds, there's no shela when it comes to a shvua. I mean, you have to learn the sugya of Tzuras HaPesach when it comes to a Rosh Hashanah. You'd have to go through all these sugyas clearly and make sure you're not even going to find the das yachid. I'm not so sure it's going to fact check. And if that's the case, Lechura, the question that was obvious, that becomes a little bit more obvious after you go through the Mesilas Yesharim, I think requires some beer. But the truth is, the teretz is as obvious as the question is. And really, the Maror Makom for this is a chidah. The chidah is in his Birkei Yosef. It's in Yerudei Simen Yud Zayin. So Yerudei Simen Yud Zayin is the Simen in Shulchan Aruch that talks about a sheichet misukenes. And the Mechaber over there brings how the Gedolei HaChachamim, based on Yecheskel HaNavi, they didn't eat from a behema mesukenes. Says the Birkei Yosef, I quote, it's a one-line quote. V'hainu, davko ki ovad mitzad chumra, v'geder ulekadesh atzmoy b'mutterloi, oz hu deshari, avalam oysem epnei sheyeshloi pikpuk be'ikar adin, oser lasois, kol shahalocha revacha b'meimer kadeshin. Says the Chidah, you want to understand how this inyan works? How do you reconcile, on the one hand, someone being machmer, where Chazal say something is mutter, as being a min, because you're like literally not trusting the Torah, versus Fakert, Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, and Perik Yud Gimel and Yud Dalit and Mesilas Yesharim. The answer is very simple. If a person is Machmer Mitzad Chumra V'Geder Ule Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, if a person is being Machmer because he learned the Mesilas Yesharim and he understands the fact that if I want to make sure I'm never going to do a Vada Yisr, I shouldn't even do a Suffolk Yisr. And a person says, if I want to make sure I'm not going to be Nichshol and Kli Rishon, I should be merachik myself from a klisheni. And if I want to make sure that I'm not going to ever come to a point where I'm not going to have time to learn, you know what? I shouldn't get used to any tanuga elam hazeh. Because if I do, ultimately it's going to take me down a road that somewhere down in the future, it's going to impact my style and not allow me to serve Hashem the way I'm supposed to serve Hashem. If a person does that, kadosh yomer loy, that's a very holy thing. But if a person says that the reason I'm being chayish for this das yochid, because even though the Rambam says that we paskin like the Rabbim, and it's based on the Gemara of we go achri rabbim lahatois and yochid rabbim malachi karabim. I don't know, there's a little part of me that feels maybe the halacha is really like, maybe the yochid is right, maybe Chazal got it wrong when they said the halacha is like the rabbim. Kli sheni, it's not mevashal, I don't know. I did an experiment. I made a coffee with a kli rishon, I made it with a kli sheni, and to me it looks like they cooked the same. Right, if a person goes down that road and he's being mefakfik in the din, that's already b'chinah b'minos. And that's already, it's not okay. So really it's all about your attitude, and it's all about the way you approach it. If a person approaches it with a pickbook where I'm undermining, I'm not 100% sure I accept this. Well, if you're not 100% sure you accept this halacha, then already there's minus. And if you're on the madrega of an Adam Gadol, it's a b'chin of Zakim Mamre already. It's the chomesh of a chamurais. This is the worst of the worst. It's the lowest of the low. If, however, a person is going to approach it, of course I know that's the halacha. Chazal said klisheni is not mevashel. But I have such nervin, I want to make sure I don't go near a klisheni. I'm not making a coffee on Shabbos. Because if I make it with a klisheni, I might make it with a klirishin. If you're not making a coffee on Shabbos because klisheni is mevashel, you're a min. If I'm not making a coffee on Shabbos with a klisheni because that one time you wake up and you're halfway in your sleep fatugs and by mistake you forgot to make a klisheni because you thought it was Tuesday. I understand. So that's a harchaka. It's a precious. That already is a very, very chashuv thing. So really, it's all about how you approach it. If you approach it because of an insecurity in the halacha, minus. If you approach it as a harchaka, yeah, harchakas are gewaldig. Now, even harchakas, there's a shulchan aruch, a precious. In the Mesilas Yesharim, he talks about the precious hatoiv and he talks about the precious hara. You got to make sure that you stay, you know, with the precious hara and don't cross over to the dark side where you stop eating. And then there's an Indian of kalayoshim betainis is nekrochoite. Those things are already not okay. But the point is, it's all about the approach. It's all about the way you go about it. And the truth is, this is a very, very interesting thing because chumras is something that fascinates everybody, right? And there's certain chumras that, you know, kach kibalnu al atzmenu val zareinu atzoif kol adoiris, that even though this is only a chumra ba'alma, but at the same time we take on this chumra. And you have to know how to, you know, look at a chumra, what bucket to put into. If a person takes on a chumra, keneged a gemara, keneged often a halach and shulchan aruch, keneged even poiskeiz manenu that a gedolei adar, and you go ahead and you say that even though he wrote a tshuva that it's mutter, but at the same time I hold you shouldn't do it because, whoa, that's not poshet. That's not poshet. You're going against a psak halach of a gadol adar, playing with Zakin Mamre. You're playing, again, now, you know, everything's always a machlokes, so you usually have someone to be Soimachan, maybe. But again, I think, Da'il Hakim Abiramiza. So if a person's gonna see a kula that was written by Rabban Shalkol B'nei Agoyla, and he's gonna say that I wanna go ahead and I'm being machmir because I don't know, man, the svar is a gefelt mechnisht. It's a gefelt mechnisht. You know what? Die gefelt mechnisht. I'm not so sure you have a right to do that. This is, you're playing on the spectrum of minus. This is this sugi over here. If a person says, you know what, I know he wrote a tshuva, and I know he said it's mutter, but there's an Indian of Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Could be that Pesach even wrote Mefurish in the Tshuva Bal Nefesh Yachmer. Oh, and I want to be a Bal Nefesh. So I'm afraid that if I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to, you eat that, I may eat something else. So in the Harchokes and the world of my precious, it'd be nice if I was consistently like that in other areas of life, but again, I'm not going there. The bottom line is, if that's the attitude and that's the hanhaga, so adarabo, kodesh yomer loy. It's all about the perspective. If the perspective is, I'm mefakvik in the ikar adin, I would look twice before I cross the street. If it's about, I know what the din is, I'm not being mefakvik in the ikar adin. But at the same time, there's a concept of bal nefesh yachmer. There is a concept of bal nefesh yachmer. It's actually often a halach in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Ramah. And the Ramah's in Yerideh Yassim in Kuftes Zayin. And before you invoke bal nefesh yachmer, look at that Pischei Tshuva and go through a little bit of raid. And I think lechatchila, look at the Chidah in Birkei Yosef in Yerideh Yassim in Yud Zayin. There's a concept of bal nefesh yachmer. Or befashtevas das meint bal nefesh yachmer. Bal nefesh yachmer doesn't mean that the person that's not a bal nefesh is a shegetz. Because if you feel that, now you're playing with minas already. You're playing with minas. Your bal nefesh is really a b'chinam. It's such a fun. It's a geshet tzar ma'oydes inyan. Because you can be a kodesh yeyom aloy if you know how to handle this with kir, and your mamish dealing with minus and zakim mamre if you don't know how to handle this with kir. This is a sensitive topic. I tried treading it sensitively. Either way, we will stop here. This is way too much fun not to have a part 3. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll probably revisit this.